As many of you know who've been sitting with us, we've been going through select psalms and bringing the Hebrew hymn book to life for you. I'm going to take a pause on that for several weeks now, and I'm going to be preaching about popular vices as evaluated on the basis of the Word of God. And the first vice that we are going to be dealing with that is a plague to our society, and increasingly so, particularly in Wisconsin, but also in many places across the United States of America, is gambling. The title of this message is Gambling is a Bad Bet. Now, it is based on some material in a book that I published, a booklet. I published 12 pages some time back, and I know you don't have study notes this morning. It'll be up on the website soon, these notes. Otherwise, you'll have them next week. Each week you get them normally, but this is one of the exceptions to the rule because of yesterday. But gambling is a bad bet. Now, this is a true story. There is a preacher. There are Bible-believing churches in Las Vegas. There was a preacher who went to Las Vegas. He's invited there to preach at one of the Bible-believing churches in Las Vegas, and they put him up in one of the hotels there at Las Vegas. This hotel also had a casino, but anyway, at the appointed time, he came downstairs a little bit early to catch his ride. They sent for a ride for him, and he wasn't a gambler, but as he sits there and watches the people play the slot machines, and he looks, his ride still wasn't here, and he looks, so he took a quarter out of his pocket, and he went over and put it in the slot machine, pulled the handle, and quarters started spewing out of the machine. This is true. And so he's there trying to pick up the quarters just as his ride comes. And what an embarrassing situation. I can tell you this, he was not ever invited back to preach at that church. And as the true story goes, that was the only time that he had dabbled in that vice, but it bit him. Gambling is a serious, serious issue in our nation today. There are 100 million Americans, 100 million Americans at least, who gamble on some level. And listen to this, there are more than $300 billion spent on gambling in this country each year. In addition to organized crime's additional estimated $20 billion that they take in illegal revenues and gambling activities, and then they use those to finance their other vices, all of which eat away at the moral fabric of our culture. Gambling is becoming an even bigger problem in the state of Wisconsin and many others that have state things like lotteries and the multi-state Powerball. We got dog racing. And when the Indians couldn't get the upper hand back many years ago, now they have the casinos and they're scalping many people, at least their pocketbooks, and lifting the money out by the gambling revenues. And our current governor has just enhanced that and made long-term contracts that are going to bring nothing but pain to our state. I want to say this, my friends, that for every $1 a state receives in gambling revenue, it costs the state at least $3 in increased criminal justice and social welfare and other expenses. So Wisconsin is getting all this money in, they're expecting, from the Indian gaming industry, and I want to tell you that that is not a blessing. That is a blight. Now, we need to frame this biblically, and so I want to point out several facts, state factual things first, before we actually look into the issue of gambling today. I mean, young people are really getting themselves in difficulties in gambling today. I, I, I was reading the statistics. Teens are three times as likely as adults to become addicted to gambling once exposed, and at least 1 in 10 teens engages in illegal activities of stealing, shoplifting, selling drugs, or prostitution to finance their gambling. And I just want to let it be known loud and let it be known clear that this is not something that believers should be involved in, and there are good reasons for saying that. Number one, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy chapter 8. And then down in verse 18, we read these words. It says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God." Now watch this in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. "For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." I just want to deal with the first half by way of principle. It is God that gives the power to get wealth. You say, how so? Number one, he gives the mental abilities for you to be able to learn a job and to do a job. Number two, he gives the physical abilities for you to continue to do a job. Number three, he gives you the health to be able to continue that job. Number four, everything that we have comes from the Lord. Therefore, we should gain wealth or our money in a way that God approves of. Amen? Wouldn't you believe that that's reasonable to think? Indeed, it is reasonable to think that. Fact number two, wealth is to be gotten in a God-glorifying way. You all know 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. It says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do what? Do all to the glory of God." Everything that we do in our life, if he's concerned about the mundane things like eating and drinking, he's certainly concerned with how we get our money. And we need to get our money in a God-glorifying way. I want to tell you that there are many today who are trafficking in dishonest gain. Stealing and prostitution and drug sales and pornography and extortion and then usury. Excessive finance charges, if you would. Excessive interest, if you... There's all kinds of ways. And it's interesting to see how our government now is trying to put restrictions on online gambling because so many people are losing so much money over the internet. I probably get three in my email, unsolicited, three things in my email that try and get me involved in some kind of a gambling thing each week. They come through on the internet. They're trying to get you there. I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 11. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, down in verse 11, a very, very interesting picture. It says, "As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not." Now watch this. Jeremiah 17:11, "As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches, and not by right," not by a way that God approves of, look what's going to happen. "It shall leave them in the midst of his days, and," it says, "at his end shall be a fool." Here's a mother bird. She doesn't have eggs to sit on, so she finds somebody else's eggs. She sits on them. They've been abandoned or something, and she sits on them, and ultimately the eggs don't hatch. They just sit there and rot. They're of no value. They're worthless. And that's what it's saying. People who get dishonest gain are just like that stupid bird. They sit there on something that they got that's not their own, and in the end, it is worthless. It isn't any good at all. You know, it's a fact that there's a right way and a wrong way to get riches or get wealth. And whatever we do, When we get our wealth, we need to do it as it glorifies God. So that brings me to the third fact that I want you to be aware of this morning, and that is wealth is to be gained by working hard. Wealth is to be gained by working hard. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11, it says, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall diminish, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase." And that's Proverbs 13:11.
We want to get rich. We want to get rich. We don't want to do anything for it.
You know, the Bible talks about a sluggard, a lazy man, who just says, the lazy man has all these wants, but what do they want to do? They want to work 2 4-hour days per week and make $1,000. Yeah, right. Okay. Uh-huh. It's not going to happen. Do you know that even before the fall, that work was in the economy of God? Even before the law. Well, what had happened is man dressed the garden, kept the garden. Now, it's a little more difficult after the fall by the sweat of your brow. But I just want young people to understand here today, it's not likely that you're going to be able to sit back in the shade and drink lemonade and bring in $1,000 a week without any effort. You're probably not going to be able to start at the top. You know, it's going to cause work. You're going to have to work. So wealth is to be gained by working hard. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Put yourself into it.
Yeah, but I only get paid minimum wage, so I'm going to just put forth minimum effort.
You're nuts. You know who your ultimate boss is? It's Jesus Christ. And if you name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you're getting minimum wage, you need to put yourself to that and work diligently, because ultimately you're responsible to the Lord. I want to tell you, I've had so many employers, Christian employers, tell me, "Man, I'm not hiring Christians anymore. They just, you know, they're just along for the ride. They don't know how to work." Boy, finding young people today that are diligent and know how to work and will work, that is a difficult thing. When I owned a printing business, I tell you, that was a difficult thing. But I want to tell you, one of the principles of God's Word is wealth is gained by hard work. Principle number 4, greediness, or more technically, the word avarice, which means an excessive or insatiable desire for wealth or gain, is the mother of all kinds of sin and sorrow. Avarice or greediness is the mother of all kinds of sin and sorrow. Proverbs 15:27 says this. Proverbs 15:27, "He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house." Ah, more, 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 more. Proverbs 28:20 says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessing, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." If you're in a big hurry to hit the jackpot big, dishonest gain of some sort, you're finding yourself in trouble. And of course, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." And that means all kinds of evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now here's my contention this morning. Listen to me carefully, and then we'll go and prove it the rest of the time. It's my contention that gambling is an attempt to get unjust gain. It is my contention that gambling does not glorify God. It is my contention that gambling is sin. Now, I guess I need to start out by defining exactly what gambling is. So here is what gambling is. To gamble means to play at any game of chance for stakes, for money. To stake or risk money on anything, on an outcome of something that involves chance. To gamble on the results of a race, perhaps, is one of the things. A short definition, to bet on an uncertain outcome. Now, there's three elements that must be present for something to be gambling. Please listen. Number one, there needs to be a payoff. You get these stupid lottery tickets at the store. You see people lining up for lottery tickets when it gets up to be in the millions of dollars there. They line up for lottery tickets. They all I hate to get gas at the store when the Powerball has a lot of money in it, because you got to stand in line for all these idiots who are there to buy Powerball tickets. But there needs to be a payoff. Number two is the element of chance. You may or may not win. Number three, for it to be gambling, there needs to be a stake. That is money or article of value risk by the bettor. And so you put down your money for this lottery ticket, and that's the stake. Now, I've told you before, but insurance is not gambling. The purpose of insurance is to spread the liability of risk for an accident or an illness or an injury around. Insurance does not create risk. It is a universal risk to all that all people face, and so they're insuring it, spreading the risk around. The stock market is not gambling. Gambling is generally a win or lose proposition. While I have some stocks, and those stocks definitely have gone down, I haven't lost it all. When you gamble, you usually win it all or lose it all. And it's generally you lose it all. All right? There's types of gambling. I got to speed along here, and you can get more of it up on the website when we put it on the church webpage. I have some notes for you. But, a lot of people got started. My mom and dad were deaf on gambling. They were, but a lot of kids get started with gambling on the playground when they flip baseball cards, or for me, it was playing marbles. It was called odd or even. And I took my marbles to school to play marbles and got involved in this odd and even thing, and I came home with half a bag of marbles, and my mom says, "Where's the rest of your marbles?" "Well, Mom, it's like this." That's gambling! We don't gamble in the Brown household. A lot of people get involved like that, start out that way, but there's categories of gambling. There's gaming. There's gaming. That's the first category. And that's playing for money in any game of chance. A slot machine is gaming. Roulette is gaming. Bingo, craps, payoff pinball machines. There's things called punch board, dream books, even chain letters. Don't get involved in the chain letter. "I got $5,000. If you'll send this letter to 26 of your friends, you'll get $5,000. Oh, that's gaming. Then there's betting. That's staking money on any event. Horse race, dog race. I like watching horse racing. Don't ever gamble on horse racing, but I like watching horse racing. I like horses. I even like better the big work horses when they're pulling things. I like horses. But anyway, don't gamble on it. Watch it on television. Dog fighting, tennis, hockey, baseball, hockey, all the baseball, basketball, any of those type of things, that's betting. And then there's the lotteries. A lottery is the distribution of prizes by a lot. And it just bugs me when they say, "Okay, it's time for the Powerball drawing," and all these ping pong balls go, you know, boop, 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 they pop up there and say, "Oh," I tease my wife and say, "Oh, miss it by one number again." You know, don't play it. But there's so many people who really get all wrapped up in that thing. And so there is the lotteries. That's gambling. Sweepstakes and raffles. That's gambling. Pools. Used to call it when they try and get me involved at the pool at work, the cesspool. I said, "Oh, you're coming around for the cesspool again." "It's not the cesspool. It's the check pool." "No, it's the cesspool. Now just stay out of it. Nobody wants to be in a cesspool." So those are types. Now, let's get to the nitty-gritty. Let's look at five good reasons a Christian should not gamble. Number one, gambling is poor stewardship of what God has entrusted into your care. Gambling is poor stewardship of what God has entrusted into your care. The Bible's clear. Everything that we have belongs to who? God. Everything. It is just loaned to us. We are just the caretaker. We are just the manager. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. You know this. It says, "Let a man so count of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in a steward, in a caretaker, that a man be found faithful." A faithful steward does not squander his money on gambling. How many of you have been around long enough to hear old Dr. M.R. DeHaan? Anybody who knew what I'm talking about? He'd talk like this in the air. It sounded like that he needed an operation on his vocal cords. But I tell you, God really used old M.R. DeHaan. And as I was doing research for this, I like the way that M.R. DeHaan put this. M.R. DeHaan says, "To risk money haphazardly in gambling is to completely disregard the Bible truth that our possessions are a trust for which we must someday give full account to God." Friends, gambling, whether it be the lottery ticket or whether it be the cesspool, the check pool, regardless of whether it is on the baseball game, the basketball game, whatever, gambling is poor stewardship of God's money. Therefore, we should not gamble because all that we have belongs to the Lord, and God expects us to faithfully use that money according to His will. Number two, gambling is based on covetousness, the desire to get rich without working. Gambling is an attempt to get something for nothing, twisted by the willingness to take a risk. Gambling so devastates people who do not have money even to buy things to put on the table of their families. I see all these people and I hear them talking, "Yeah, we're going to hit the big one." Yeah, maybe it'll be like Bill Bennett, and he had a lot of money to gamble, I guess, but he's behind the Book of Virtues that I mentioned before, and yet come to find out he's gambled away $8 million. What good in the world could $8 million have done in another venue as opposed to gambling it away? You know, the love of money is the root of all evil. And men get, if I just had this money, and if I just win the big one, think of how my life could change. Man, if God isn't in it, better is little with the fear of the Lord than having won the jackpot in great trouble therewith. You know what? I have followed some of the people who won these big jackpots, my friends. I want to tell you, talk about miserable lives. Gambling is based on covetousness and the desire to get rich without working. And Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4 says, He becometh poor that deals with the slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. You get busy and be diligent. Make wise investments with your money. Put some in the bank. Buy a CD. Do something like this. But don't go out and gamble. You realize how little of it, you know, go out there in a thunderstorm, you know, put an antenna on. There's a better chance of getting hit with lightning than there is winning the Powerball. Go out in the midst of the storm. Stand on top of your picnic table. You know, there's a better chance of getting hit by lightning than there is by winning something in, you know, winning the big one. Proverbs 28:20 and 22 says, "A faithful or honest man shall abound with blessing, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." I mentioned that part before, but it goes on to say, "And he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not the poverty that shall come to him. I like Proverbs 13:11, wealth gotten by vanity shall diminish, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. That makes it pretty clear, Proverbs 13 and verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. One person paraphrases it this way, wealth from gambling disappears quickly. Wealth by hard work grows because you know the value of a dollar, friends. You know the value of a dollar. Gambling is motivated by covetousness, and therefore we should not gamble because covetousness is a sin. Number three, gambling is idolatry. Gambling's idolatry. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, say it if you know it. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You know, God commands us to live by faith and to trust in the Lord. In fact, we're to make the Lord first priority. Seek first the what? Kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then what's he going to do? Take care of our needs and all these things. What? Your food, your clothing, your housing shall be added unto you. When a person gambles, the focus is different. When a person gambles, it shifts from trusting in God to luck, to chance, to fortune. Now, it's a little bit obscure, but I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah 65, 11 and 12. The book of Isaiah, Isaiah 65, verse 11 and 12. And God really gets on Israel because that is what has happened to Israel. In Isaiah 65, verse 11, it says this. It says, but ye are they that forsake the Lord. They're supposed to be the ones who are looking to the Lord and trusting in the Lord and getting direction from the Lord. It says that forget my holy mountain. And then look at this, that prepare a table for the troop. You go home and look up the word troop there. What they did is prepared a table for fortune and the God of fortune. What they're doing is they shifted their trust from God. And they're saying, oh, I hope I'm lucky. I hope I make my fortune. Wah! Oh, I'm going to make this offering. So, man, I want to be rich. And then not only that, look at this. And that furnish the drink offering unto that number. You know what that is? You look up that word, to fate. They weren't trusting in God. They were trusting in fortune. They were trusting in fate. And that's why gambling is idolatry. Instead of trusting in Lord and praying to the Lord, they're saying, oh, I hope I win the big one. Can you realize the oxymoron of saying, oh, God, help me to win the Powerball? Oh, yeah, right. Gambling's idolatry. Therefore, we shouldn't gamble. Gambling is stealing. Gambling is stealing. I want you to know that in order for a person to win, a lot of someones have to what? Lose. That's the nature of gambling. In order for one to win, a bunch of someones have to lose. The gains of the winner are paid at the expense of the loser. In winning, one receives the wages that another person has earned without giving anything in exchange. Just because it's robbery by consent does not make it right. You know, yeah, come on, reach into my pockets. Yeah, come on. Hey, don't look, folks. I got to go to the casino this afternoon. We're going to build a big new gym for First Baptist Church, all right? Man, oh man, if the deacons didn't get a hold of that preacher, if the people didn't say, what, wait, pastor, that's not how we're going to finance the new gym. Gambling is stealing. It's sophisticated robbery. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but let him, we're back to this, labor, working with his hands. It says, the thing which is good, now listen to this, that he may give to them that hath need, that he may give to him that needeth. Gambling is stealing, even though it is robbery by consent, it is still stealing. Many children have food stolen out of their mouths. There was a gambler who actually stole his baby's clothes and baby's shoes and sold them at a rummage sale to try and get more money to gamble. Which brings me to my last point. Gambling is addictive. Yes. You know, all you have to do is ask Pete Rose. You know what? He's in the Hall of Shame instead of the Hall of Fame. And you know why? Because of gambling. Gambling's expensive and addictive. Ask Michael Jordan. Gambling is addictive. Ask Dr. Bill Bennett. I already told you about teenagers being taken by this. They're so susceptible, three times more susceptible once they're introduced to gambling. And gambling is big amongst teens, high school teens today. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." My wife's neat. You know, I wanted to win her one of those bears at the fair. And you throw these rings. You know, after I bought the third batch of rings, years ago, she said, "You can probably buy one at the store for cheaper." And she's right. You know, it gets to be the point. I know. So I don't want to start. I've never bought my first lottery ticket. I hope to go to my grave never buying my first lottery ticket. The first three, that was fun. Got one. Oh, can't get the bear. Well, I'm getting the hang of it. Next one. And then it begins. Ah, man, I got $5 wrapped in this. I got it. Oh, I got 10. Oh, I'm almost there. It's addictive, friends. And Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled." Look up the word. It means controlled by the Holy Spirit. The only thing that we're to be controlled by, twofold thing, is the Word and the Spirit. I'm telling you, if coffee's got you controlled, where you, "Pastor, it's 3 minutes after 12. It's time for my coffee." Not me. It's not coffee with me. It's Coke. You know? No. It's time to cut back. Time to do something different. Gambling is not something that glorifies God. Let me just review very quickly. There's five good reasons that Christians should not gamble. Number one, gambling is poor stewardship of what God has entrusted into your care. Number two, gambling is based on covetousness. Number three, gambling is idolatry. Number four, gambling is stealing. Number five, gambling is addictive. Don't gamble. Don't gamble.
"But it's just one lottery ticket."
Put that money in the bank. Do you realize if you... the money that you spend on a lottery ticket, if you even put it in a jar, you'd be more successful than you are with the stupid little tickets that you buy. Now, having said all that, remember that it's required in stewards that we be faithful. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's hard to get a a good balanced perspective on a lot of things in your life if you don't know Christ. And you might think that I'm completely all wet. But in the end, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So you do win the lottery. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll still go to hell. But you don't have to. You don't have to. You can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, forgive your sins, and save your soul. You can repent of your sins, get right with God, and trust Him as your Savior. And then you'll be able to see things from the balanced biblical perspective. Because all the money that you have in a bank account or you win in the lottery isn't going to save your soul. You see, it's a free gift. Quote John 3:16 if you know it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I commend to you Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him as your Savior, today is your chance. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Now, if the Holy Spirit's grabbing hold of your heart, of your need to trust Christ as your personal Savior, if you're under conviction of your sins and you're willing to turn from your sins, that's repentance, and turn to Christ, you could do that. In the quietness of your own seat, you could tell the Lord how sinful you are. And that you want Christ. Not just for fire insurance, but you want Christ to come in and take control of your life. And give you life more abundantly. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior, why don't you just pray? Tell Him you're a sinner. Ask Him to come into your life right now, forgive your sins, and save your soul. Just pray quietly in your own words, right there, right now. Cry out to Him. Ask Him to come into your life. Now to believers. If you've been tempted or you're messing around with a gambling business, friends, that's not wise stewardship of what God has committed to you. Get out of it. Confess it as sin. Put it behind you. Put it in the past. And I believe you ought to teach your young people about wise stewardship, because today so many teens are getting hooked into this world. In Wisconsin, it's a state now having its backbone of finances built on gambling. God is not going to bless that. What a great tragedy. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the time that You have given us in the Word today, and to be able to hold everything up by the searchlight of God's Word, even gambling. And we see it isn't something that glorifies God and something that born-again believers shouldn't have a part of. I pray You bring conviction if there's those playing the lottery, getting the lottery tickets, or those who just think that they got to go to the casino or go down to Pottawatomie or go to the tribes or play online gambling. Lord, that's not wise stewardship. Just convict their hearts, help them to repent and walk back in the straight and narrow. And then, Lord, if there is anybody today who is sitting on the edge, not sure that they're saved, help them to trust Jesus Christ before it is ever and eternally too late. This we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.